WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I got my baseball Jones going on. I got my football thing happening. Luke is out in Owings Mills, and we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday. We're going to be at Gunpowder Lodge with my pal Danny Santoro, talking a little soccer with him and my pal JR, eating some crab cakes, probably having a lobster roll, getting ready for World Cup, and also getting ready for the Ravens and the Browns, which gives me an opportunity. People think I don't like Cleveland. You don't know. I like the people of Cleveland. I like the city of Cleveland. I like the food of Cleveland. And when I was single, I liked the girls of Cleveland. I even like the football team in Cleveland because it gives us a chance to play them. Michael Regei, it is so good to visit with you, the longtime voice of the Baltimore Orioles, now calling all sorts of college and football. And man, I don't know how you do college football, college basketball. You got to learn players, learn numbers, small schools. You play-by-play guys are geniuses. I'll never let you forget that.
It's labor of love, Nestor. Labor of love. It's all good, man. But hey, a pleasure to see you, to hang out with you, and I'm glad to hear that everything's going good for you in Balmer, hon.
Well, I used to be in the media. I'm not anymore. You know, play-by-play, they made me call a horse race one time. You ever call a horse race? That's the hardest thing in the world to do.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a horse racing. That's something that I'm very familiar with calling. But listen, man, again, it's a labor of love. And
we got to learn the horse, the color. Well, yeah. And then 20 minutes later, you got to learn a whole new race.
There you go. There you go, baby.
I don't know how those guys do it, dude. I really don't.
No, I tell you, it's a special talent, one that I don't have. So, yeah, man. But all right, let's break it down. I mean, what's you know, I always follow Coach Harbaugh and John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens. So, I mean, I tell you, man, what's going on with very surprised in losing a couple of home games and finding yourself at 500 through six football games, huh?
Well, I mean, they've had a lead through, you know, 96% of the games. They should have won these games, right? I mean, you could say that for the Browns and the Jets game with some weird stuff and the missed kick against the Chargers on your end. We're talking about blown massive leads, right? And I learned this week, if the games had stopped after three quarters, the Browns would be 5-1. And that's a telltale of the fourth quarter not being good enough, but it's also a tell of you're not a bad football team when you have a lead after three quarters in this league. There's that question of what happens in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens and the Browns have both struggled with that.
Well, yeah, no question about it. And here in Cleveland, Nestor, I mean, it is it has gotten to be a cause of real negative proportion for Kevin Stefanski and his coaching staff. And you mentioned it. You know the ire that the Browns fans can start to cast real quickly when things start going bad. And right now, it's big time on Stefanski. He calls his own plays. That's been a problem offensively. As in, you get maybe the top running back in the NFL, Nick Chubb, 12 carries last week, and half the time he's over there standing next to Stefanski while the offense has got the football. So never a good sign there. And then defensively, it's a mess. It's just a total train wreck right now. Everybody here wants the coordinator, Joe Woods, fired. You know, I don't think that's going to happen, not right now anyway, but defensively, they don't tackle well. The defensive front four is really bad. The linebacking core can't tackle, and the secondary is giving up explosion plays over their heads. You put all that together, Nestor, that's a real bad dynamic on the defensive side of the football.
Well, they've spent a lot of money and time, and obviously the 1-1 on Baker Mayfield. Now, if they go into the tank, they're earning draft picks for the Houston Texans. They've taken on that problem, and we'll get to that in a minute. But for this game, Deshaun Watson's, you know, waiting for his 27th allegation at this point. He won't be playing. But for this week and where the team is, why is the defense so bad? I have they put too much effort into the offense? Because this felt like 2 years ago, finally, after all the years of you and I getting together since you left here calling baseball games, they've always stunk. And then there was this promise, right, that was coming along with Baker Mayfield. But it wasn't just Baker Mayfield. It was the rest of the roster sort of coming and finding its way. And all of a sudden, it feels like the old Browns again were like, we're going to fire this guy. We're going to fire that guy. We're going to have a new coach. That feels very, very new to me because it felt like you guys were into this for a period of time.
John Dorsey, Nestor, the general manager. John Dorsey, I'm a big proponent of his. Have always loved him since he started, really with the Green Bay Packers in his NFL administrative side. He put this roster together. And then, of course, things start to go bad a little bit. The Haslams of the ownership group get rid of Dorsey, get him out of here as a GM. And I got Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry, a Harvard-educated gentleman, extremely bright. But Nestor, Dorsey liked thumpers defensively, right? Guys, big, stout, strong that could hit. And rattled you. Andrew Berry has changed the defense. It's all for speed. It's about speed for him. All right. The problem is, again, the linebacking core, they're small, they're almost skinny, and they don't tackle particularly well. So that's a big part of the issue here defensively. They've changed the philosophy. And, of course, you're going to have that. I get it when you have general manager changes, management changes. But this roster, to me right now, it's not as good as it was a few years ago. Everybody seemed to think when the year started, the Browns have this terrific roster. It's complete. They got all the components necessary. Offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, and special teams too. Hadn't played out that way. Hasn't shown that way. So now you got to look at it. Is it philosophy and scheme from what's being laid down? But are the coaches trying to force feed their scheme and the way they want to play? But Nestor, do you have the personnel that fits that, that can play that way? I'm beginning to think that the answer to that is no, and that's a problem.
Well, playing smaller is one thing against Lamar, right? But the offensive line is meant to road grade you.
It is.
Then you have to tackle. Look, these guys don't practice tackling anymore, Michael. There's no more two-a-days, and, we're going to get together in the spring and hit. I mean, they don't hit. They don't tackle. And I think all the modern coaches, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin would tell you that it's a different thing. It's a different game, the way it's being practiced, the way it's being coached. And then that relates to how it's played on Sunday.
Great point on the practice side of it. And you're 1,000,000% right. There's no hitting that goes on anymore because, again, we could go off in a whole different area with that. But, that's dictated a lot, as Nestor, by the Players Association, right? NFLPA in terms of what you can do practice-wise now, how much hitting you can do during the course of the season. And not to mention even leading up to it, off season, spring, summer, the whole deal. So, no, I agree. I think it's a problem league wide. I've never seen the tackling or the attempted tackling so bad league wide by defenses in this league.
The familiar voice of the great Michael Regei, home team sports, and a long, long time ago in a stadium and administration far, far away, although we still have Angelos is running the baseball team here. For you with the Deshaun Watson thing, I mean, you're there, you live in the community, you got the gauge on where – I can't imagine that being peddled out to the Baltimore Ravens fan base and saying, root for this guy, cheer for this guy. Ladies, cheer for this guy. Guys, you like your wives, you like your daughters, you like your sisters, you like your mother. This guy is, where there's smoke, there's fire, and paying off women, all of this. But for the Haslams to take this on, I don't know where the juice and the squeeze comes in, especially when you're going to be giving away these draft picks.
Extremely toxic, Nestor. It is, it appears to be, as you just pointed out, there was a lot of the, you're going to do what? You're going to bring Deshaun Watson in here?
And give him the biggest contract in
NFL history. There you go. It hasn't gone over well here in Cleveland. Most Browns fans are like, pretty much ready to say, it's it. This is all. I've had enough. So now here it is. They got 11 football games you're going to play. He'll be back, evidently, supposedly. Right now, he's still lined up to go for the final six football games of the year. But I don't know, Nestor. I think the Haslams vastly, I don't think that they looked at everything that was needed to look at when they decided to make this move. Number one, with their fan base and how it was going to be reacted to. And I think it's going to cost them. It's going to cost them in the long run, meaning the ownership group here. Yeah.
Well, it's going to cost Steve Bisciotti too, right? Because, This is the negotiation now that Lamar Jackson has to say, look at what they gave him.
Yep.
And Steve Bisciotti says, well, I'm not them. I'm not going to make bad decisions with my franchise. And now Lamar, it's like a referendum every Sunday afternoon on whether do we sign him or do we not. I said it was like a Fogo de Chao meal. It was like green or red. You know what I mean?
Pick
one. Either go all in or all out. And the cost of doing business for the Ravens went up because of this insanity of their business partners. And we'll get to Dan Snyder and Jim Irsay and Rob, and all that's going on. But just on a financial level of competing, what the Haslams did to upset the market has landed at the feet of Steve Bisciotti.
Well, yeah. And as you said, and it will be with other owners too. And again, this is a whole trickle down theory thing throughout the whole league now. And for the Browns, it's they got themselves in a really bad situation. We need a quarterback, so we're going to go out and get a quarterback. And we're going to get a real good one. But I just don't know with that type of toxicity, Nestor, how in a market like this, how either they or they were, led to believe that by those they trusted, this will be a good thing. This will be a good thing with your fan base, bringing that kind of problem in here. And, as you just laid out, too, the women of this fan base,
Well, how about the women of the wives of the players, who have to then defend him and say what he did was okay or was not wrong or he didn't. Like, I think that is also something that was not considered by them. I mean, are they this tone deaf? Really? I mean, I shouldn't ask because I've met some billionaires, right? Like they're on just a different planet.
Well, the answer to that is, they were that tone deaf. I cannot believe, and stay in touch with some people in the organization that, and I'll just put it this way. They're all pretty dumbfounded that this was the decision and, thought to be the right way to go on this, to bring in this type of player who, has done everything to, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that wonder, how he's, or has been or will be, just let back in the league to play again, period. But I guess that's a different story that goes beyond the Cleveland Browns. But no, it hasn't gone over well here. And now you got, just from a football perspective, the quarterback that's playing now, he's a career backup, and he's showing you why he's a career backup. Got off to a decent start the first few football games. But in all the losses, terrible decision-making and terrible fourth-quarter turnovers while attempting to put a drive together to regain the lead or win a football game. So, what that is, man. There's only 32 guys walking the face of the earth that are starting quarterback caliber in the National Football League. And many would say there aren't even really that many. That's just the number there are. But, Jacoby Brissett has regressed here in the last few weeks, but regressed back to the mean. To me, it is what he is. So tough to win football games that way.
Well, the notion that they were going to hang on and wait on Deshaun Watson, knowing he wasn't going to play at least the first half of the season by the time they got through with this thing, that six-game suspension wasn't going to stick. Mm-hmm. And then knowing you're giving the draft picks away and the money and you're going to have the whatever acrimony there comes along with Deshaun Watson, they're not going to be able to improve this team in the draft without having players, right? Like, if the defense is bad, how's it get better? It only gets better through the draft.
That's exactly right. And again, as far as in free agency, or trades in the National Football League? Well, that's for, to me anyway, that's for a select few, right? You're talking about free agency. Nobody coming here to play for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, unless which they've shown the want to do. But, yeah, it's a difficult do. It's going to have to come in the draft. And the last few drafts have just not been satisfactory, that have provided this football team with enough to stay where everybody thought they should be, just in the AFC North. And that is right there with Baltimore at the top of it. But, you know, that's just not reality right now.
Guardians gave him a hell of a run, right? I mean, at least if the Browns fell apart, the Guardians made it interesting. And we've got interesting here all of a sudden, right, brother? I mean, like, if you came back here and called these games all of a sudden, you'd have Adley Rutschman. What we're expecting the next few years here on the baseball side, as I wear my Tony Gwynn jersey, is a little taste, a little chance to have what Philadelphia, San Diego, Seattle felt last week, what you guys have felt. But Cleveland's been a good baseball town through this, not a championship town, but there is a level of expectation that the Guardians are going to be better than the Browns in most years.
Yes, but and again, listen, you know, I've said all along, they've done a nice job. You know, those that make the baseball personnel decisions here in this town, you know, Chris Antonetti, namely, for all these years, has done a very good job. Mike Chernoff now. And yes, but, you know, Nestor, I do think it, to me, and I'm here, I live it every day, but to me, you know, they are greatly valued by the division they happen to play in. Again, everyone thought, and nobody picked them this year, I'll give you that, but the Chicago White Sox, Minnesota Twins, even the Detroit Tigers are good. Well, and then the Kansas City Royals. So there's the other teams you're playing in this division. Now, I'm sorry, but with the Guardians approach, you can't tell me that if you put them in the AL East or the AL West, that this baseball team would have been in the postseason, because they would not have. They would have won that many games.
Well, we're getting more unbalanced moving forward here, right? Like, so this is where the Orioles don't have to go get their ass kicked by the Red Sox and the Yankees most years.
Right.
Right.
But that is, you know, still to come in the future. So
I see all these Frankie Lindor ads, and I keep thinking, he's a tribester, man. He's clean.
Well, yeah, until he wasn't. And look, again,
Manny Machado's wearing this, bro. So I know. Hear you.
There you go. You got there. You go. That's a good analogy. Same thing. The one thing they've done a very, very fine job pitching, starting pitching, bullpen. Again, Chris Antonetti and Mike Chernoff, they've done an excellent job with putting together this pitching staff. And that's, you know, over the course of the last 10, 12 years, they've had good pitching. And as we know, still baseball, still even as much as offense is all the rage and the thing now, you know, if you can pitch, you give yourself a chance still in the modern game today. And that they've been able to do, that with the division they play in and maybe some of the not stepping up from the Chicago White Sox, Minnesota Twins, Detroit Tigers, all very helpful for the Guardians. Yes.
Michael Regei called the baseball games for the Baltimore Orioles many, many moons ago here, called NBA forever and ever, has lived in Cleveland now for much of his professional adulthood, and calling all things there, Cavaliers at one point, and calling all sorts of – so you do college football and college basketball. Mm-hmm. You're really going into the heavy season here where they sort of overlap a little bit for a couple weeks, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, again, I love it. It's just, you know – I know I'm in the minority, but summertime for me is vastly overrated. By the time I get about to mid-July, it's like, let's go. I'm ready to go and get the football season started. Still do a lot of, you know, like we're doing with the Browns and NFL shows here too. So, it keeps my plate full. And, of course, all that's always a good thing, Nestor, with for what we do for a living, our plates being full, that's the way you want it, right?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's always good to hear your voice and visit with you. You know, at some point that we'll have one of these Browns Ravens playoff games, and they'll both be good, or it'll be Orioles Indians like it was back in our day, back in you know, 97 or whatnot, where they get together. But in the meantime, you know, let's stay friends. I'll see you in Tremont. We'll get some breakfast one day or something.
I love it, man. You know, anytime, you're always welcome. You pop in anytime. It's all good to go.
The great Michael Regei joining us here from the land of Cleve. They're coming here this weekend to take on the Baltimore Ravens. I'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday with our friends at Gunpowder Lodge. Make sure you're stopping by. The whole tour will be up at Baltimore Positive soon. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation, where you buy two and you get two free. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, TASS in Baltimore, sporting my Tony Gwynn jersey on the internet because, well, they're playing for at least another couple of days. We are BaltimorePositive.com.